In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And also with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, throughout the ages you transform sickness into health, death into life. Open us to the power of your presence. Make us a people ready to proclaim your promises to the whole world through Jesus Christ, our Lord and healer. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. Say to those who are a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. Thanks be to God. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Alleluia, praise the Lord, O my soul. Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals, in whom there is no hope. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. Our second reading is from James. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, put his fingers into his ears, and spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephpha tala," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of our Lord. Well, thank you again for having me come back. It feels kind of home away from home as we gather and together for worship. As you know, I served as a pastor for many years, and I served in inner city Columbus on occasion a couple of times. And one of the places where I served, there was a church that had a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a 12-step program for recovery. Christian based. It started out of by Rick Warren at a Saddleback Church in California. And this Celebrate Recovery ministry is for folks that are struggling with addiction, those that are homeless, those that may have food insecurity. And that church had parking lot picnics. Many of the community folks came to that, and they stayed for the worship and the program of Celebrate Recovery. It sounds like a great ministry for inner city, doesn't it? And you'd think that all would go very smoothly, and yet I'm told that there was conflict that arose. It wasn't with the community people, but the congregation, the regular congregation, who wanted to provide this ministry, were sincerely desiring to do it, somehow had an unconscious judgment rise up within them. The pastor had to deal with conflict. One such conflict was around choir. Could the homeless people, those with less resources, sing in the regular choir on Sunday morning? One of the community people really wanted to do that, I'm told. And then great angst occurred. All of a sudden, there started to become rules around participation in the choir. You had to come on the different days for rehearsal. You had to come, I don't remember the story, but they had to come like two or three times before they could sing in choir, and they always had to be there the rehearsal before. And for one without transportation in the winter, that meant many numerous trips to the building just to be able to sing on a Sunday morning. Eventually, the community people didn't try to sing on Sunday morning anymore. That's what I hear. And I watched as attendance to the parking lot picnics dwindled. Attendance at the recovery program decreased. Good intentions. Favoritism and partiality, judgment of others, have been around the church since its inception. This is highlighted in both our epistle and our gospel reading from this weekend. James is warning the church about favoritism. Historically, in his day, there was a great divide of classes. It was divided up into three classes, and I can't remember the names of all three of those. They escaped me. But the first was for the rich and those with wealth and means. And the last was for the poor that had little resources. And there was judgment occurring in this community because folks showed partiality. They noticed if they were dressed well or if they weren't. You know how you can give a person a side glance? Not really paying attention to them, especially when we're listening to them. But my phone and my Facebook is a whole lot more interesting, it appears, than really listening. James was not just addressing the issue of material wealth and acceptance into the community of faith. For James, rich and poor was more than just a divide about material wealth. It was about who placed their trust, complete trust, relied upon God for everything, and who did not. James ends his warning emphasizing the fact that faith must be put into everyday life action. From its depths, the depths of prayer, of faith, that grounds our spirits and forms our inward nature, energizes us to love others. That's what James is talking about when he says faith and works are connected. Now, it's a tricky thing because we can have faith and not have works, right? We can consent to the beliefs. The other tricky thing is there's a lot of really good people on this planet that do a lot of really good things and don't have faith. Some of them are very generous. Some of them love others. But they're not grounded in a faith, in a prayer base that forms their inward nature into more Christ-likeness. James is really emphatic. Any and everything about life, when one holds faith deeply to the heart, as individual and as communities of believers, must have an overflowing presence of that faith that just flows out to community. It is God's presence, that presence of compassion that is never to be separated from our faith and our actions. In other words, faith goes beyond assent of belief in the mind or affirming creeds. It is a soul-deep influence of how we care for others, how we're created to live compassion, how we are to be those that carry forth God's love in all that we do. James and Jesus from our gospel reading this day both show us that the power of God's kingdom is not limited to a certain group of people. In Mark's gospel, our readings follow last week. Remember last week we were talking about what is clean and unclean, and the Pharisees were getting all up in Jesus' face because Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. And Jesus said, "Ah, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It is what comes out of your mouth that makes people unclean." I think Jesus does everything he does with great intention. So he went to a people, to an area, to a Gentile land, where the people are despised, where the Jewish folks, I mean, this is more than just not really caring for others. It's more than just scrolling through your Facebook and not really paying attention. But these are sworn enemies of the Israelites. And Jesus goes there and tries to be incognito. And then he demonstrates through this conversation with the Syrophoenician woman both what it is when believers speak crassly to one another, how it hears in our ears that sensitivity and it makes something within us just crawl. It jars our sensibilities. And yet here is a Jew following Jewish protocol, making harsh statements, calling a woman that only wants Jesus to do something for her daughter that she truly trusts Jesus can. She's called a dog, unclean. Hear the tension that arises in this story? All the onlookers are wondering, what will Jesus do when this woman comes and kneels before him, begging him to heal her daughter? Will he cast her out? Will he even hear her out? Will he listen all the way to what she has to say? After all, Jesus has come to be the Messiah, to the Jewish folks. And yet the woman is persistent. The insult, being called a dog, does not embitter her. I don't know, but some of us, we might have got our dander up a little bit and wanted to fight back. Or maybe we would just say, well, you know, forget you. I'm going to do this on my own. She accepts the time for the Gentiles has not come yet, and that the Israelites take precedent, but she does become the first person in the gospel to engage Jesus about his mission, a mission to humanity, not just to the Jews. She refuses to be dismissed. She has enough trust in Jesus, knowing that even a little crumb of Jesus' bread of life will make a huge impact. And in fact, she understands that even more so than the disciples. And she realizes she cannot insist upon God's mercy. But she humbles herself, is willing to be called anything just for the hope and the love of what she knows God can do. The willingness to be humble is key for each and every one of us striving to live discipleship. Did you ever notice that Jesus, when he tells her, go, your daughter is already well, she does not ask for proof. She does not argue. She does not say, well, are you really sure? How can I be sure? Fundamentally, this story is about crossing boundaries. It challenges us not to be rigid with who we believe is in and who is out, who is well and who is not, who is rich and who is poor. Challenges them and challenges us to have an attitude of agility and flexibility to release our defendedness about self. God will heal even us Gentiles, no matter how unclean or what we have done. Few wonders crossed my mind as I've sat with these scriptures this week. How do we as community gift outsiders with a sense of belonging? In this age of pandemic, when, you know, we thought for a moment there that things were getting better, and we got really excited about that, and now we have found, oh my stars, it's not getting better. It's only going to our children, grandchildren. People are living in such isolation still. We're behind masks. Grocery stores now have signs on them. You can't come in, vaccinated or unvaccinated, without a mask. So how, in this kind of environment, do we gift people with a feel of sense of belonging? How do we help the other know in the depths of their being that they are important to us and they are important to God? How do we live genuine compassion for the earth, for others, even others that have a different language than we do? Different food, different smells, different statuses, socioeconomic, different material resources. You know what, that same church that I told you about at the beginning, I'm told of another story that when the program was going, when it was getting up and really starting to blossom, there was a great big gentleman that attended and was sitting in a chair and I'm told was stretched out and leaned back, very kind of know-it-all, you know. And asked the pastor, I'm told, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this program? And I heard that the pastor gave all of this really great stuff, you know, about all these reasons why it was important to do this. And the gentlemen listening in the community that was there, I guess, were all just silent waiting for the response. The gentleman finally says after a pause, I'm told, so you're doing this because you love people? And the pastor told me that he said, the gentleman said it much better than I. Who and how will you live your faith out loud in action of love, compassion of Jesus' heart this week and each day? Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostle Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, Brenda, our presiding minister this weekend, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God, Lord, in your mercy. You provide water for thirsty ground and sunshine to feed hungry plants. Bless all who advocate for healthy forests, unpolluted air, and clean waterways. Inspire all people to show care for the world you have made. Lord, in your mercy. You show no partiality. Increase justice in all nations. Encourage leaders and governments to work with one another for the good of our common world, especially as we celebrate Labor Day. Unite us in seeking the health, safety, and dignity of all. Lord, in your mercy. You accompany those who are most in need. We pray for those who are ill, especially Matt, Tracy, Scott, the family of Dean Chamberlain, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Timothy, Candace, Stan, the family of Ron Hallman, Blaine, Michelle, Audrey, Rhonda, Nola, Diane, John, Art, Gloria, Faith, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, and our homebound. Shelter all fleeing violence or persecution, protect any who are in danger, and sustain them through uncertain and unstable times. Lord, in your mercy. You support the work of your disciples. Continue to nurture the leadership and ministries of this congregation. Lord, in your mercy. God of all, we pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Lord, in your mercy. You embrace all who have died in the faith and brought them into your glorious presence. We thank you for their example and rejoice in their lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up our hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation. David fought Goliath. The psalmist cried out for healing, and full of compassion, you granted your people life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted your people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting in his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit upon this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. Make your wine warm our hearts. Make us one. You are the fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal nations. Grant us such life, life of the Father to the Son, life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for now it is ready for all people. O God, we give thanks to you that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of our Son, your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John's Windfall is centered in the Word of God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.